You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is God's word for us today. There are some things that are better when you plug them into a power source. There are just some things that work better with electricity. I don't know if any of you can remember how your grandmother did laundry. Did anybody remember a galvanized wash tub outside to do laundry in? Yeah. Right? You know, you could spend all day scrubbing that laundry in that tub to get one load done. Imagine your grandmother coming into your home and seeing your washer and dryer. Some things are a lot better when you can plug them into a power source. I am also given to know that it is possible to cut drywall with a knife and to put it up with a screwdriver. But I hear tell that it's a whole lot easier to cut drywall with a table saw and to put it up using an electric drill. There are some things. Sometimes when what you really need is a power source. And I got to tell you, sometimes in our world we have a power problem. There are some times when we desperately need a power source. We've been reading, and this passage in Galatians is all part of this incredible book about what it means to be free. You were called to be free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. And then he says, you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge the flesh. Instead, serve one another through love. You're called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense in everyday English, the way that we use it at the grocery store or in our workplaces. When we talk about flesh, we aren't talking about meat at the meat counter, and we aren't talking about our good physical bodies that God gifted us even if we are desperately going to need them to be renewed and recreated at the end of our days. We're talking about that bit that lives inside of us. We're talking about the sin nature that we inherited from Adam. We're talking about the part in us that chooses to do what is wrong again and again and again. And Paul says, you were called to be free, but freedom does not look like doing whatever that part of you wants to do. Freedom doesn't look like doing whatever feels good or whatever seems good at the moment. No, freedom looks like being who God created you to be and doing what God created you to do. That sin part of us that Paul uses the flesh word for, that flesh, it's opposed to God's spirit. Our sinful stuff, a sinful self wants to do what is against God. And the part of us that has God speaking into our heart wants to do God things. And those are, they bump up against each other. They're opposed to one another. So we're always in a game of tug of war. An incredibly serious game of tug of war. In fact, I want you to think back to when you were a kid. Imagine you're 10 years old and at school. And I know that a lot of you, when you were 10 years old, girls didn't play tug of war. Just go with me here. You're 10 years old. And you're on a team of 10-year-old kids lined up at the tug of war. And you look over at the team on the other side of the rope. And they are the biggest, nastiest group of high school students you have ever seen. Right? Sometimes life feels like we're in the middle of a game of tug-of-war and we are completely and utterly unmatched. We don't have the power for it. Our sin nature is this nasty group on one side that is three times bigger than we are, and we don't have a hope of pulling against that. In another spot, Paul says, you know, all those good things that I want to do, I don't do those. And the bad things that I don't want to do, I do those all the time. It's like we're constantly being pulled in the wrong direction and we don't have the power to stop ourselves. We have a power problem because we have a sin problem. Paul in this passage lists a whole bunch of words that talk about the bigness of our sin problem. And thankfully, every one of us usually doesn't end up completely overrun by all of the things that Paul lists here. But all of us, to one extent or another, have something in us that pulls us in these directions. Sexual immorality, impurity, that's all of the ways that we go against what is right and good. Debauchery. The thing that in us that wants to just be reckless and go out there. And there's all sorts of stuff in this list about, you can imagine, crazy parties and over-the-top drunkenness. The witchcraft word can talk about all of those ways that we're going against God and trying to find power in the supernatural. But it also is related to the word for drugs. And when you think of people using drugs to get that kind of, you know, supernatural high, that's all tied in to this witchcraft word. And then there's just the stuff in our broken relationships with people, hatred and discord and jealousy and envy and all of those nasty things inside of us that make us want to hurt other people, that cause us to hurt ourselves, that break our relationships. We have a sin problem. And it's a good thing that that's not where God leaves us. Because our passage today doesn't just talk about our problem, it talks about God's solution to our problem. And really, Galatians as a whole talks about two big parts of God's solution. The first solution to our power problem is the power of Jesus Christ and his cross. Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the body, in the flesh, I now live in the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. The power of the cross of Jesus Christ means that our sin can be forgiven, that we can be made clean, that we are forgiven and adopted and set free from our sin. And our response is to hear that good news. Our response is to believe it and to turn to God and to trust him. But it's the power of Jesus Christ that makes it really happen in our hearts. That we've become not the person we used to be, but the person God makes us to be. God's son, God's daughter, forgiven and free. Suddenly, the tug of war is not so impossible anymore. You know, perhaps now you're the same size as the person who's on the other end, right? But it still feels like, when we're honest, sometimes, even today, living God's way still feels like a tug of war. Maybe we're not the little kid with great big teenagers on the other side, but sometimes it still feels like we're pulling against ourselves. And there's part of us that wants to be God's person and live God's way, and there's others of us, other parts of us that just slips out. And suddenly, we're hurting people with our words. And we're envying people who seem to have it all together. And we're up in people's faces because they've hurt us today or they hurt us a long time ago. And there's things in us that just don't want to let go. And sometimes, even in the power of Jesus Christ, we still feel like we're in a tug of war. But the story doesn't end there either. Because not only has God given us the power of the cross, but God has also given us the power of the Holy Spirit. When God set us free, he put the Holy Spirit in your heart and in my heart. And the Holy Spirit is our power source. We live by the Spirit. Paul says, you live by the Spirit. And since you live by the Spirit, that means you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. It's not us tugging that makes it possible for us to become more and more like Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And our response to the work of the Spirit is very much like our response to Jesus Christ saving us. We hear that good news. We hear the Bible say, you have God's Holy Spirit and all of God's power within you to change you into the person God has created you to be and to empower you to do what God has called you to do. We need to hear that. We need to believe that. And we need to turn to God for that. And we need to trust that. Because it's not anything in our tugging that makes us more like Jesus. Jesus says, the Spirit has set you free. And if the Spirit has set you free, then that's not the law. This is God's free life. This is God's free gift. We're not trying to live by our do good, do better. That's not the solution. It's like you're in that game of tug of war, but then somebody pulls up their half-ton truck and ties your end of the rope to the back wheels, to the strongest part of the truck, all right? Now you're in the middle of the tug of war. That truck takes off, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what's on the other side of that rope. You have God's strong power helping you. As we give control to the Spirit, in that day by day turning and trusting, as we give control to God, then we experience more and more of the power of God's Spirit in our hearts and our lives. And when the Spirit is in control of us, our self and our sin can't have control anymore. We begin to be less and less controlled by our sin as we are more and more controlled by the freeing love of God within us. And instead of growing sin, we grow love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, self-discipline, one step at a time, with God's power doing the heavy lifting. See, sometimes we go about trying to put a screw into that wall, and we think we're holding a drill, but if you haven't plugged it in, it's not going to do you very much good. That's where it comes with the remembering and the turning and the trusting. We have to trust that God is doing this in us. We have to trust that God's Spirit really is active in us, changing us from the inside out, so that we are no longer driven by the need to be first, or the desperate need to be loved, or the need to show ourselves, or all of those other sin drives inside of us. And instead, we can experience God fully living in us. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use that as an opportunity for the sin part of you. Use that as an opportunity for God's Spirit within you, so that you overflow with love for God and love for one another. So you become a healthy tree that grows good fruit just because it's healthy, not because it tried hard. You already live in the Spirit. And the next part of the verse isn't a command, it's a promise. If you live in the Spirit, then you will keep in step with the Spirit. We don't have a power problem, because the power of Christ has set us free, and the power of God's Holy Spirit is within us. That's the good news. That's the freeing power of God. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we still struggle day by day, and we struggle to understand what it means that you are within us. And so we ask that you would fill us with your presence and your power, so that even in our struggles with turning and trusting, that you would give us the power for that, that we would experience you within us, and that more and more, day by day, we would experience your fruit in our lives. Not because we try hard, but because you love us. We pray this in your name. Amen.